you. Thank you. I appreciate that. Turn your Bibles to the book of Mark, chapter 11. Mark, chapter 11. You are an amazing student body, each and every one of you. I love to find you doing good. I love to praise and talk good about you. And if you wonder why, because people will become their praise. And I do know that you're sinful beings, but you're the best sinful beings that I've ever met on the face of the earth. You're good sinners. That's what you are. And this weekend, again, I was reminded of just how awesome our students are. I took a group of ladies down to Terre Haute to preach, and Karen Hudson, Cassandra Rivera, Chloe Van Dyke, and Jordan Thorpe. And we were in Jordan. And Thorpe is a common name, too. But we were eating. That's all we did down there, Brother Collins. We just ate. And we were in this very small, I'll call it, hey, folks, chapel has begun, and I'm speaking, and you're listening. There we go. And so it was crowded. There was probably about 60 to 5,000 people in that little room, somewhere in between there, more like 60. And Karen had to get up to get some more food. She did that several times. And and I was so proud of her because she couldn't get back to her place. And so she is. She's just looking at all the aisles. And there was literally about that much room between the chairs. So you either had to, you know, make everybody move. So here's what she did. She moved one chair, she moved another chair, she crawled underneath the table in a crowded room. Matter of fact, I have a video of that. Maybe we can play that next week, but just in case, this could be in a textbook, what to do in a crowded hall, a crowded fellowship hall, you just crawl underneath the tables. Didn't she do that? Testify, she sure did. So Karen, proud of you. And she got the job done. She probably should be a division leader at this time, so. I won't say anything about maybe you're not getting the job done, but she sure got the job done. Mark chapter 11, verse 11. Mark chapter 11, verse 11. I'm going to preach on the subject, dead fig trees. Dead fig trees. Mark chapter 11, verse 11. Before we get started, let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we know that you are with us, but God, we just really want to sense your presence. We want to feel the impression of the Holy Spirit upon our heart. We want to hear the Holy Spirit instruct us and convict us. God, we just want you. And God, let's face it, we must all admit we are nothing without you. Thank you for so many good things, Father. Thank you for your grace, for your mercy, for your love, your unconditional love. Now, God, I pray that you'll move in a very special way this chapel service. In Jesus' name, amen. Verse number 11 of Mark chapter 11, and Jesus entered into Jerusalem and into the temple, and when he had looked around about upon all things, and now the eventide was come, and he went out unto Bethany with the 12. And on the morrow, when they were come from Bethany, read the next three words with me, ready? He was hungry. And seeing a fig tree afar off having leaves, he came, if haply he might find anything thereon. And when he came to it, he found nothing but leaves, for the time of the figs was not yet. And Jesus answered and said unto it, no man eat fruit on thee hereafter forever. And his disciples heard it. And they came to Jerusalem, and Jesus went into the temple and began to cast out them that sold and bought in the temple, and overthrew the tables of the money changers and the seats of them that sold doves, and would not suffer or would not permit that any man should carry any vessel through the temple. And he taught them, saying unto them, is it not written? And let's read that next sentence. Ready? My house shall be called of all nations the house of prayer, but ye have made it a den of thieves. And the scribes and the chief priests heard it and sought how they might destroy him, for they feared him, because all the people was astonished at his doctrine. And when even was come, he went out of the city. And in the morning as they passed by, they saw the fig tree dried up from the roots. And let's read verse 21 together. And Peter, calling to remembrance, saith unto him, Master, behold, the fig tree which thou cursest is withered away. And Jesus answering saith unto them, have faith in God. Let's pray. Lord, help us again. We just pray for your Holy Spirit to control us in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, I wonder often in my life, why did Jesus curse the fig tree? What did the fig tree do wrong? And again, it was a very popular fruit. As a matter of fact, it was symbolic with Israel. If you go to Israel, you will see tons of figs and you will see tons of olives. In every market, in every restaurant, there were figs and there were olives. And so there is a meaning behind this and why he cursed the fig tree. The fig tree is symbolic of Israel. And the appearance of a fig tree with leaves but without fruit was pretty disturbing in the sight of the Lord Jesus Christ. And what it represents is the appearance of a Christian but not the fruit of a Christian. And we think, well, that's no big deal if I don't have fruit. And I'm going to define fruit just a little bit here. Oh, so what if I don't win souls? So what? I'm busy. I don't have time to pray. I don't have time to spend with God. And I'm not showing love, joy, peace, long-suffering, and the fruits of the Spirit. But keep in mind, Jesus cursed the fig tree. It also represents dead ritualism. We see a lot of that in America. We were in Israel, and we were in a large courtyard waiting to go into the building. And I, for the world of me, don't remember what we were doing because the pace of it just goes so quick. And those of you who went to Israel, you remember that day, all the bells begin to ring. I mean, there must have been 20 bells high up, and it was loud to the point these old ears had to put my fingers over my ears because it was so loud. And it seemed like an eternity that they rang, and I started asking some of the leaders there, what's going on? And he said, well, some Arminians are coming. And again, Jerusalem is divided up in different religions. It has the Muslim, the Christian, Judean, and then the Arminians. And then there was a parade come of these men dressed in black, every one of them dressed in black. Do you remember that, seeing that? And it was all very, very religious people, and they had all their phylacteries and all their garb and all their, whatever you call it, golden scepters, and just, and pious, just out the ears. It was just, they're so pious. And that's what they know as religion. And that is exactly what Jesus is condemning. He condemned the fig tree because it looked like a fig tree, but it didn't have the fruit of a fig tree. Jesus is condemning and the ritualism in many of our denominations and our religions in America and throughout the world. He's cursing and he is condemning dead religion. People that have the appearance of religion, they talk about religion, they talk about Christianity, but they're not producing fruit. And one of the statements before he cursed the fig tree is he got up, it was in the morning, and he was what? He was hungry, but there were no figs. And he said, this day, that fig tree is never going to produce, never going to produce. And then the next day, the disciples were amazed that that came to pass. Now, a lot going on in this story here. But the message is, don't be a dead Christian. Don't be a Christian without fruit. Clearly, this is not a temple scolding. This is a temple condemnation. And then right after this event, he goes into the temple. And it's like a market within the temple. And he just starts tipping chairs and tables upside down and throwing things and condemning them. So we see here it wasn't one of the better moods of the Lord Jesus Christ. By the way, keep in mind, God is a God of judgment also. He's a God of love. He's a God of mercy. He's a God of grace. But you know what? When we step over the boundary, God will judge us. And I've seen God judge churches. I have seen God judge denominations. I have seen God judge countries. And so you don't mess with what God wants us to do. And we got to stay true to Scripture. And you got to get that in your mind and in your heart before you leave Hiles Anderson College. If God curses something, you better take heed. And so again, it's a good idea to listen when Jesus curses something. And this is a temple condemnation. The appearance of Christianity, but not the fruit of Christianity. Number one, we're going to talk about dead faith. Dead faith, because many Christians have a dead faith. And I need you to turn your Bibles to the book of James, chapter 2. We say we have faith. We say that we have trusted the Lord Jesus Christ as our Savior. But what's going on with your faith? Because if you truly have heavenly faith, faith in God, Something is going to happen in your life. And so we look in James chapter 2. We'll begin in verse number 14. First of all, we're talking about a dead faith. Chapter 2, verse 14. What doth it profit, my brethren, though a man may say he hath faith and have not works, can faith save him? If a brother or sister be naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you say unto them, depart in peace, be ye warmed and filled, notwithstanding ye give them not those things which are needful to the body, that doth it, what doth it profit? Even so faith, if it hath not works, is what? Being alone. So we can't talk about, if you have true faith, something is going to happen. And you are very fortunate that you get to exercise your faith every Saturday. You get to display. But in the book of James at that time, there were people that had great needs. They were without food. They were without clothes. And those good, godly Christians in the early church would say, oh, God bless them. Look at these two poor beggars here. God bless them. And I hope everything's fine with them. And then go about their merry way. What God is saying here is we ought to act upon people who have needs. And so not only can you do this on Saturday, you can do this any day at any time. Finding people that have needs and fulfilling those needs. That is dynamic faith. That is acting upon what Christ would want us to do. And I want to challenge each and every one of you, don't just have a weekend faith. I want to challenge you when you see people with needs, or, and it doesn't have to be this student body, but it could be this student body. But if you see a person with a need, and just say, well, God bless them. Now listen, last night I put a sizable amount of money into the offering plate for the people in the southeast coastal region. Why? Because I picture myself being down there. I would want help. And these people down there are going to need great help. And we can't just say, oh, bless their hearts. I hope everything's going to be good with them. Because a dynamic faith, a living faith, is going to say, I will do something about it. How's your faith today? What's the test of your faith? Does it just say, God bless everybody. I hope it turns out okay. Or do you do something about it? That's not the only kind of faith. That's a dead faith. We say we have faith, but there's nothing to prove that we have faith. And we can't justify it before man. By the way, this does not contradict what Paul says in the book of Romans. That we are justified by faith. But we are not justified before people if we just sit in a pew and do nothing. We never serve the Lord. And you have to hear, but I'm saying you need to live a lifetime of helping other people. It brings great satisfaction. I'm going to tell you when you're going to be most disappointed and most frustrated with yourself. When you only live for yourself. If all you think about is self, you are not going to be a happy person. Happy Christians are Christians that do things for other people. Listen, I make a habit of when people give me good things and give me gifts, I just told Lord several years ago, I'm going to turn them over to somebody else. People give me gift cards all the time. People give me a lot of things. And you know what I do? I reward people. I say, listen, God laid you upon my heart, and here it is. Brother Lutz, God laid you and your wife Annie upon my heart. And I've done that to many people. Why? Because I don't want to be stagnant. I don't want to just collect. I want to give. That is a dynamic faith. That is a living faith. Let's move on. James talks about another faith. Look right down the road to verse number 18 in chapter 2. Yea, man may say, thou hast faith and I have works. Show me thy faith without thy works, and I will show thee my faith by my works. Let's read verse 19 out loud. Thou believest that there is one God. Do you understand that Satan himself believes that Christ is the Savior? And he believes that the Lord Jesus Christ is God in the flesh. And so does every demon. But they tremble. The second type of faith is a demonic faith. And the first type of faith was one that knows intellectually but does nothing about it. The second type of faith, a demonic faith, intellectually they understand, yes, Jesus is the Messiah. Jesus saves. Jesus died on the cross. He is God in the flesh. But it also appeals to the emotion. You know what? No wonder God judges America so often. If you look at the broad scope of Christianity, we look at the dead churches, and then on the opposite side is just the rock and roll and the emotionalism, roll on the floors, and just crazy, crazy Christianity, crazy worship. And it's like, what in the world is going on? Listen, we always have to worship in a way that pleases the Lord Jesus Christ. And again, we look at the contemporary movement and the music, and listen to me, I've been to those type of churches, and I've had flashbacks in my days before I was saved of rock concerts. The thrusting of the pelvis, the wildness, the craziness, and everybody, oh, the emotions. We see this in charismatic churches. We see it in the contemporary movement. I'm not saying they're all bad people. I'm just saying I don't believe that that is the worship that God accepts. And so we have a demonic faith that just intellectually they know, and they love the emotional experience. So let me find a church that will provoke my emotions. No, what God wants to do is provoke our hearts. He wants to provoke your hearts. What God wants you to do is be in a church that teaches the Bible. You know, I'm afraid we're getting into this type of preaching where, well, let's not offend anybody. Let's just bless their hearts. Let's encourage. And I'm not against that, because I know saints need encouragement. I know I need encouragement at times. I'm not against that. But I think we're to the point that the people in the pews control the men behind the pulpit. And that is wrong. You say, well, I don't like people preaching hard at me. You wouldn't have liked Jesus preaching then. You need to read the Gospels, my brothers and sisters. It wasn't sweet at times. And He is a loving God, He's a merciful God, but He tells the truth. The last type of faith is a dynamic faith. And we'll look down a little bit more to verse number 20, chapter 2, verse 20. But will thou know, O man, vain man, that faith without works is dead? Was not Abraham our father justified by works when he had offered Isaac his son upon the altar? Or in other words, his works proved his faith. Let me just stop right there. I've counseled with 1,000 people in my life, thousands. And you know, they'll begin to testify what the issues are, and I kind of scratch my head and give them one of the universal times out, and I will ask them this question, always kindly. I would love to hear your salvation testimony. I have led dozens of people to Christ because what they were telling me revealed there is something really bad, wrong in here. I'm one of those that believe if you're a Christian, you're going to have the fruit of a Christian. You're going to have love, joy, peace, long-suffering, and all the fruits of the Spirit. And if people are not displaying the fruit, I have to scratch my head and say, really, are you a fig tree, or are you what are you? Are you a Christian? Where's your fruit? Where's the love? Where's the joy? Where's the peace? Verse 23, and the scripture was fulfilled, which saith, Abraham believed God, and it was imputed unto him as righteousness, and he was called the friend of God. Ye see then how that by works a man is justified, and not by faith only. Justified to man, not justified in the sight of God, because we are justified in the sight of God by faith alone. Get your doctrine down. Get your theology down. In verse number 25, likewise also was not Rahab the harlot justified by works when she received the messengers and had sent him out another way? For as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead also. So we have three types of faith. We have a dead faith. We have a demonic faith. And number three, we have a dynamic faith. That is the type of faith that really shines. You know what? I am here today because my roommate had a dynamic faith in Fort Bragg, North Carolina. I mean, he was worse than I was. He was crazy. But you know what? He began to have Bible studies in his room. His whole life changed. He went to church every time the church was open. He would go out on this bus. I didn't know what it was. And this guy with a green beret would come and he would take him out. And it was just like, what is happening to him? I'll tell you what. He got the real faith. He got dynamic faith. His whole life transformed. And it was just a matter of weeks before I got that same faith. And that was 30-plus years ago, 38 years ago, and I still have that faith. I don't know how you can be saved and not want to serve the Lord Jesus Christ. I don't know how you can be saved and not want to give of yourself and give to other people. And again, once again, the fig tree was cursed because it had leaves, because it did not have fruit. Let's talk about a dead prayer life now. A dead prayer life. Let's look to Matthew chapter 17. Matthew chapter 17, please turn your Bibles there. Thank you for listening. Matthew chapter 17, verses 15 through 21. Here's another story, very interesting story. Verse number 15 talks about one of our students here. Here we go. Lord, have mercy on my son, for he is a what? We got a few lunatics. We always have a few lunatics. And sore vexed, for oft times he falleth into the fire and oft into the water, and I brought him to thy disciples, and they could not cure him. Then Jesus answered and said, O faithless and perverse generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I suffer or permit you? Bring him hither to me. And Jesus rebuked the devil, and he departed out of him, and the child was cured from that very hour. Then came the disciples to Jesus apart and said, why could not we cast him out? And Jesus said unto them, because of your what? Your unbelief. Because of your unbelief. For verily I say unto you, if ye have great faith as the grain of a mustard seed, ye shall say unto the mountain, remove hence to yonder place, and it shall remove, and nothing shall be impossible unto you. Howbeit, this kind goeth not out by prayer and fasting. A lot going on there. Look up here, listen, act like you're interested. We're preaching the Word of God here. You're listening here. We want the Spirit of God to move in our heart. That means you have to open your receptors and your senses, your eyes and your ears and your brain. So what happened here is we see a prayerless, a faithless, powerless disciples. Now what is so interesting about this story is one time they did have power. One time they could perform miracles, but they got used to it. And now they're just like, okay, let's get this lunatic out. Hey, he's still there. Hey, let's try it again. Let's pray. The lunatic is still there. Listen, it'd be a shame for you to come to Hiles Anderson College and leave prayerless, faithless, powerless. Can I just speak to you men here? I want you to listen very carefully. You are the next generation. If the Lord tarries, you're the next generation. Can I just give you a couple suggestions? Stay humble. Just because you're a bus captain doesn't mean you're the next Billy Sunday. Some of you, you strut. You try to practice the swag. And you, I'm exercising my authority. I'm a bus captain. And I just want to scratch my head and say, okay. God bless you, puppy. Be humble. But one of the things that encourages my heart about this student body is after every chapel, I will see bus routes praying back there. But if you're going to pray, get your prayers answered. You know, who was it? John Pankratz came down to my classroom. He said, Brother Douglas, did you hear the news? It's like, John, I hear all kinds of news. What news? He said, the hurricane is now a Category 2. What did we pray yesterday? Hello? Listen to me. And I understand millions of Christians are praying, but did we ask God to reduce the intensity? What happened? He reduced the intensity. God heard our prayer. I could take the next 30 minutes and reveal some of the things that God has answered our prayer. This weekend, Chloe Van Dyke lost her debit card. And so we had to go back to the store in which she thought it was lost. And as she got out, I said, Chloe, you're going to find it. And then I said, Lord God, I hope she finds it. And then I said, Chloe, there is a limitation of time. You can't take forever. I was thinking 5-10 minutes. It took 30 minutes. And so they came back, and I could tell that they did not find it. There was like this. And I'm like, Lord, I told her she would find it. So I didn't want to bring the subject again because I look pretty weak there. Well, guess what happened? We went to the evening service, and I heard, oh, 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 oh. I said, Chloe, what's going on? She said, I found it. She found her debit card in her purse. Did that happen, Chloe? That happened. So it was like, Lord, thank you for not making me look bad. I appreciate that. Jesus said in verse 17, my house shall be called of all nations, the house of prayer. Say it again. Prayer. The house of what? Can I just challenge you, young people? Learn at your age to get your prayers answered. Learn. You know, my life was changed about 2 years ago when I went to a prayer seminar south of Indianapolis. And I got fired up and God touched me. And it has not, it is still going strong. And in all my problems, I just turned to the Lord to prayer. And God has done amazing things. And again, just, you know, we look at the things that have been done to Hiles Anderson College in the past 4 months, some amazing things. That roof, we put in over $100,000. Did we have $100,000 at the end of the semester? Absolutely not. God provided. And so you know what that does? That increases my faith. One of the reasons you're faithless is because you don't pray and you don't get your prayers answered. So, you know, God doesn't listen to me. God doesn't do anything. What you need to learn to do is cry out to God. I said, cry out to God. I'm saying, lift up your voice and let the tears flow and say, God, do you hear me? And you know another benefit of prayer is it purges you. You can't spend time with the Holy God without you becoming holy. That means many of you, you need a prayer life. You're just totally depending upon the flesh and your physical body to carry you through this schedule, and sometimes we need the Spirit of God to quicken our souls, to bring us back to a vibrant condition. It's in prayer. But again, if you men are going to just, you've got to have a prayer life, you've got to have be full of faith, and then you'll have power. Not your power, but God's power. It's called influence. And influence is an invisible element. It's the Spirit of God speaking to people. It's you being kind to people. It's you loving people and letting the Spirit of God do the rest of the work. So once again, why was the fig tree cursed? Well, first of all, dead faith. Second of all, dead prayer life. Prayerless, faithless, powerless. And notice he said as a grain of mustard seed. He didn't say as the size of a mustard seed. And I hear that repeated, and I just want to say, that's not what the Bible says. He said, if you have faith as a mustard seed, meaning a seed is alive and it grows, then you're going to cast that mountain or that big problem into the sea. That means you're not going to get all your prayers answered right away as a young lady or as a young man, because your faith has to grow. But once you start seeing those prayers answered, I'm telling you what, you get the confidence. And it was that confidence I said, Chloe, you're going to find this card. Now, God always does it a different way than I think he's going to do it. But she got her card back. So let's not be powerless. Let's not be faithless. Let's not be fruitless. Lastly, why did God curse the fig tree? Why does he curse churches? Dead worship. Turn your Bibles to 1 Chronicles. I'm going to go very quick here. Faculty members, I am paying attention to the time. 1 Chronicles chapter 16. I want us to read these verses together, and I'm going to go through something rapid fire here. We have a dead faith, we have a dead prayer life, we have dead worship. 1 Chronicles 16, verse 23. Let's begin. Ready? Sing unto the Lord, all the earth. Show forth from day to day his salvation. Declare his glory among the heathen, his marvelous works among all nations. For great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised. He also is to be feared above all gods. For all the gods of the people are idols. Glory and honor are in his presence. Strength and gladness are in his place. Give unto the Lord, ye kindreds of people. Give unto the Lord glory and strength. Give unto the Lord the glory due unto his name. Bring an offering and come before him. Worship the Lord in the beauty of his holiness. Fear before him. All the earth, the world also shall be stable, that it be not moved. Let the heavens be glad and let the earth rejoice. And let men say among the nation, worship. What is worship? It's telling or showing God what you think of him. I'm afraid that in your schedule, in your distractions, you forget God. And you need to make a habit of every morning starting off with gratitude and worship. If you start it in the morning, it will continue through the day. If you don't start it in the morning, God's going to go right past you. You're going to miss it all. And eventually the heart will grow cold. Many of you are there right now. You're missing out on the Christian life. You have a dead worship. And I probably am more of all the Christian virtues, I love worship. I cannot tell you the number of times I said I need to go out and I need to spend a season in prayer, and I get out and I do not get past the worship. And the tears flow and the mucus flows. And God is glorified. And then I come back to my truck and it's like, why did I come out here to pray? What was I praying for? I forgot. Doesn't matter anymore. God is glorious. Dead worship. You say, Brother Douglas, I don't know how to worship. Most Christians don't know how to worship. They think they have to go to a contemporary praise or a contemporary concert and do this. That's the same thing I saw at rock concerts back in the 70s. When AC/DC was playing, when Led Zeppelin was playing, and I could go on and on and on with those bands. Yes, I was into the heavy metal. We all were. They were worshiping Satan. And I don't think it's too different now. I really don't. I believe you can and you should worship God through music. That's biblical. But let me give you some other things. You can worship God through prayer. You can worship God through Bible reading. I'm not giving you the scripture and everything. I've got to go quick. You can worship God through obedience to scripture. You can worship God through tithes and offering. You can worship God through witnessing. You can worship God through expressing gratitude to God. You can worship God by serving one another. Inasmuch as ye have done it unto one of the least of these, my brethren, ye have done it unto me. You can worship God through music. That is not the end of the list. Don't have a dead worship life. You're busy. You're taxed. You've got a rigorous schedule. But if you forget to worship, if you neglect to worship, your soul is going to dry up and shrivel up, and you're going to be a grumpy, grouchy, critical Christian. Dead churches are dead because they have members with dead faith, dead prayer life, dead worship. Would you bow your heads?